Hallelujah indeed. So of course, this is Father's Day. I was looking at some different surveys, you know, that's been out here, and they rank, you know, the most popular holidays. The number one holiday is Christmas. Come on now. Christmas wins, and Christmas, you know, should win. I believe number two is Mother's Day. This was the top 20, by the way. Number six, I'll just go there, is Halloween. Yeah, pretty up there. Number 19 is Father's Day. It shows how our society now reflects and looks at fatherhood. It's just another day. And many people treat it that way. It's just another day. That's not God's heart. Psalm 127 is where we will begin. Verse 1 through 4. It says, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him. Children are a gift from God. Let me put it in these terms. Children, let me speak to all of our parents. They're not our personal possessions. They're a gift from God that as parents, we have a responsibility to steward in the right direction. But they're a gift that comes from God. And therefore, wisdom says we should always back up to make sure we are submitting to God's authority about how to raise our children. Raising children is an extremely rewarding assignment and privilege from God. But again, it does come with some correction at times. It comes with some hard decisions at times. It comes with you, you know, kind of making some decisions and giving some direction that your children may not understand at the time. Yeah. It's not a popularity contest. You're not doing it, you know, for their approval. You're doing it for a reason. And again, the reason is not just our own selfish reason as parents. There is a purpose behind what we are to be doing in directing our children. Now, there are three general approaches to parenting that you see going on in society today. The very first one is what I call the isolation technique. Isolation parenting is something that's rooted in fear, because isolation parenting is when fear motivates parents to isolate their children from, you know, all outside contact or influences as much as possible. It's an attempt to ensure that the children are never contaminated by negative influences. But the reality is that that's not really practical to try to eliminate all negative influences. Instead, good parents learn how to use every challenging situation as an opportunity to reinforce the truth of God's word and to get their children to think about the practical application of the word of God in a daily context. So just trying to, you know, shelter our children and just keep them away from everything, that's not healthy. But that's that isolation, you know, technique. And a lot of times, unfortunately, once a child like that experiences what, you know, they believe now is a sense of freedom away from their parents, they make a ton of horrible decisions. Horrible. The second is passivity. Passivity parenting refuses to accept the responsibility of being the leader. Passivity parenting is rooted in selfishness and this distorted sense of freedom. S-E-N-S-E. This distorted sense of freedom. So this is that parent that's just like, I don't want to warp my child. I don't want to make the decision for, I don't want to do anything that just, I just let them be, you know, who they want to be. And many of us have seen, you know, that child in the grocery store that parent had no control over. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? Where you wanted to get that child yourself? Come on, come on. I know I got some other parents in here just like, oh, where is my belt? And the parents were just taking the, you know, the position of, you know, I'm just going to let, you know, I'm gonna let Jimmy be whoever he wants to be. See, that's that passivity where you're refusing to take the responsibility to be the leader. Never will forget, I was telling my kids about this the other day. I was having lunch. I was on my lunch break. So I decided to go to McDonald's. I felt, you know, like, you know, getting a little McDonald's. And I decided that day I was going to get myself some chicken McNuggets. I think they're made out of chicken. At least that's what they tell us. And I'm sitting down there at the table. And there's this kind of young guy and young girl that's over at another table. And they got this little small, you know, kind of toddler. I mean, he's barely walking good. And he's making all kind of fuss, you know, over there. They can't control him. He's just doing whatever. So I'm sitting there, I'm just trying to, you know, enjoy, you know, my particular, you know, meal. And, you know, I think I'm looking at my phone or whatever the case may be, something going on. And then out of the corner of my eye, I see that little fella jump out of the booth and he starts walking towards me. Well, my spider senses started to tingle. I was like, what is going on with this little fella? Sure enough, he walked right over to my table, reached up and grabbed a McNugget, you know, from my box. I caught his little hand so fast and snatched that nugget back out. I was like, what in the world? And they were just like, oh, you know, he just doesn't know how to act. I said, yeah, I guess whose problem that is. Said, who is not taking responsibility that this little, you know, toddler is going to jump up and go to some, you know, body's table he's never even seen before and take their food? And then we want to, you know, wonder why, you know, we got issues with, you know, sometimes overpopulation of prisons. It's not all just a color thing. A lot of times it's a parenting thing. Might as well say amen. I'm gonna stay right here. Number three, though, where God has called for us to be, though, is this sense of training. This is the approach of parenting. Parenting involves repeated interaction and time aimed at forming Christ into the child. Training parenting involves repeated interaction, and it involves a lot of time, but the aim is at forming Christ in the child. It's not just simply training your child to be the next great golfer or the next great tennis player or the next great basketball player and put them in all the AAU programs that you can and so forth. No. It's about forming Christ in that child. And I remember I was talking to someone and there was something they wanted me to do with my kids. It's like, you should get them in this, you know, basketball program, get them in that. And I just had to tell them. I says, listen, my goal is not to raise NBA players. My goal is to form Christ in them. Now, if they want to go play off in the NBA, that's fine. But when they get there, Christ is going to be present. That's my assignment as father. And that is the training God has called for us to do. And that's why Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 says, train up a child in a way he should go, in keeping with his individual gift or bent. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. He or she, not depart from it. So let's look at this whole model fatherhood. Now, when we talk about model fatherhood, you're going to find here that a whole lot of this applies to motherhood too. So we could just simply call this parenting. Godly parenting, really what it is. But I want to give you some essential ingredients. You know how it is when you're making your best meal, you got to have, you know, certain ingredients or you may as well not make it at all. Come on now, if you're going to put together some curry, you got to have some curry powder. You cannot make curry without some curry powder. You can't go get some paprika as a substitute. You do not have curry any longer. There's essential ingredients you have to have if you're going to produce, listen, what God is looking for. So if you're with me, say yes. Yes. Let's go. Number one is this. Pray fervently for your child's godly development. Pray fervently. Pray fervently for your child's godly development. Come on, listen. Not just simply their success in school. I mean, praise God for that. But pray fervently for their godly development. And a great prayer model to use is the way we see the Apostle Paul praying for the church in Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 16 says, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly. And listen, this is what I'm doing. I'm asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. Come on, that's how you got to pray for your children. He says, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. Oh my goodness. Man, I love this. Come on. Paul is praying now, you know, for these saints and these believers. But I'm saying this is how you ought to be praying for your children. You want to pray that God gives them a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of who he is. That the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened, flooded with light, so they come to know exactly what is the hope of their calling. And then they make sure that they come to know now this massive power that we have from God. They got power. Come on, someone say it with me. Say, I got power. Presence of Almighty God living on the inside of you. Pray fervently for your child's godly development. This is model fatherhood right here. Model parenthood. Number two is this. Establish and enforce reasonable rules with love. Establish and enforce reasonable rules with love. Studies show. Sociological studies and the like show that children prefer rules. Now, you would think that would not be the case. Just like, I just want to do whatever I want to do. But once you do whatever you want to do for a long period of time, you begin to realize something. Nobody cares what you do. And kids pick that up. And kids are just like, I wish somebody love me enough to tell me no. I wish somebody loved me enough to give me some boundaries. Boundaries are good. So you want to establish and enforce some reasonable rules with love for your children. Oh, absolutely. And one of the rules, watch this, of the Crawford household has been, you know, is and will continue to be. Come on, like Jesus, you know, was, is, and is to come. Come on now. Has been, is, and will be. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. You don't get to lay your behind up in this house and not serve God. Now, the moment you feel like I don't feel like I have to do that, you've got to find yourself another house. Oh, that's just kind of harsh right there. See, the aim is to form Christ, not to make them happy and comfortable. Oh, boy. Establish and enforce some reasonable rules with love. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I've had family members, you know, you just stay with me, grown adults. It's like, hey, you can stay for a little while. You taking your little behind the charts. I'm not going off on Sunday morning. Are you laying up in here? Oh, no. Oh, no. That's the rules of the house. That's the rules of the house. I said, that's the rules of the house. Yeah. I love that. Joshua, you know, initiated that. Says, y'all can do whatever y'all want to do. If you feel like serving them gods, you know, over there, back in Egypt was your thing, you can go ahead and do that. He says, but as for me and my house, everybody live with me, we're serving God. That's it. Is non-negotiable. And establish and enforce some reasonable rules. That's reasonable. That's reasonable, ladies and gentlemen. Number three, I see I like that one. Show your children how to respect authority. We have a huge diminishment of respect for authority in our society. And you can see it almost everywhere. You know, a lot of teachers that I've talked to over the years, they were frustrated because it's just like, you know, I can't teach because I got to do so much crowd control because of the lack of respect for authority. You know, you've seen some cases, you know, where teenage kids or so forth, and you might be out somewhere and you see that kid say something to their parent, and you just like, there was something, I think, you know, my wife Rhonda and I, we were watching the other day, and it was, you know, the child said something, you know, to their parent. Oh, that's what it was. We're watching a movie, watching Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. And we were just commenting, just like, you know, if we'd have said something like that to our parent, we'd have lost some teeth. Now, some of y'all know what I'm talking about in here. You couldn't just say whatever you wanted to say to your parents. You couldn't just say, well, that's just how I feel. You just need to get over it. You'd been looking at the ceiling, I'm telling you. And wasn't nobody calling the police either. All right, all right. Show your children how to respect authority. And come on, come on. Where our police officers are concerned. Come on, show your children how to respect. I didn't say teach them. I said show them. Show them how to respect authority. Oh, yeah, you know, but these police officers got issues. Yeah, so do you. We all dealing with stuff. And yeah, you're right. There are some officers that shouldn't be officers. But there's a whole lot of great ones. And at the end of the day, you should never forget this principle that God has established in Romans chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. Everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God. And those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. I'm just going to let that sit there. Number four, please, 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 please follow God's prescription for disciplining your children. Or another way to say this is, especially when you got small, young children, don't spare the rod. Oh, no, this is 2023. You know, that's just so ancient and antiquated, and that's out of, and they just didn't know better back then. But see, now we know. Dr. Spock has taught us better. Proverbs 22, verse 15 says this. A youngster's heart is filled with foolishness, but physical discipline will drive it far away. A youngster's heart, it's filled with foolishness. And watch this, and all of us can attest to that. Proverbs 13, 24. Those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them. Did you hear what I said? Those who spare the rod of discipline actually hate their children. Now, some individuals, because they're so smart, they took this passage and then they're just like, well, that's symbolic. The rod is symbolic. It doesn't mean actual, you know, like a belt or anything of that nature. It's just a simile. It's a metaphor. That's not what the Bible is saying about like spanking or something your child. Remember this. Let scripture be its own dictionary. Let it define itself. Proverbs 23, verse 13 to 14. Don't fail to discipline your children. The rod of punishment won't kill them. Okay, still not clear. Watch this. Physical discipline may well save them from death. Some translations actually, you know, translate as beating them. Okay, maybe not the best translation, but yeah. But the whole emphasis here is that there's a place for, you know, physical discipline. Now, there's a proper way to do it. Come on now. I mean, you know, extension cords and all that stuff. Okay, that's abusive. I know it was abusive, praise God. You know, when my mom, I'm not going to mention her name, Dorothy L. Crawford, but when she would tell me, now you go out in that backyard and get a switch from that bush. What? Come on now. I get the smallest switch. It'd be about this big. That would only make her madder. She's like, wait a minute. You want me to go get the actual weapon to whip me with? It's like, I don't know who came up with that idea, but I'm telling you right now, I'm about to get the smallest thing there is. Of course, I got in even greater trouble after doing that. But there are certain things, watch this, that you should steer away from. And I will say this too, when it comes to physical discipline of young children, you do it in love and not in anger. So you may want to wait a minute before you go there. Now, I wish I could tell you, you know, that I've always done that just perfectly. But there's times that I could look at it and be like, I probably should have waited a minute. Yeah. Like, I told you. Come on. When you're going like that, you just wait. Woosa. Come here, Johnny. Now get him. You know, the physical discipline part should still be applied, but you want to do it with a sense of wisdom and control. I like this quote. A spanking should hurt enough to leave a mark on a child's conscience, not his or her body. Amen. That's how a spanking is to be applied. Number five, here's your fifth ingredient. Regularly talk with your children and have some fun with them. Amen. Listen, correction shouldn't be the only voice that they hear. So the only time they really hear you really talking to them is, you know, you ain't doing this right and do that better and do that and so forth. Okay, that's, you got to do that, but that shouldn't be the only voice or even the dominant voice. There should be a voice of love and a voice of communication, a voice of intentionality of just speaking some things into their life. And then there should just be a voice of just having some fun, just playing with them. You know, I mean, yesterday, you know, myself and, you know, a few other brothers, and, you know, we had our sons out, you know, at the park, you know, playing a little basketball. I think my team was undefeated or something like that. I don't know. I think the zero was on the other side, you know, for my team. But we had a good time just out, just playing, you know, a little basketball, you know, with our sons. It was hot, but it was an investment. So it was well worth it. You know, I got to give props where props are due. I mean, you know, my man Ian was lighting us up. I don't know how many threes he hit. I mean, literally, he had to drop about 12 to 15 of those. I was like, what just happened here? But hey, man, we had a good time out there. Have some fun, you know, with your kids. You know, this past week, you know, my wife's birthday was last weekend, so mine's, you know, today. So normally, you know, it's like this, and, you know, things are going on, so we're really always working. So this year I said, you know what, let's just slow down for a minute. So during the week, we just took a minute, took a short break. We kind of went up to Orlando for a little bit, and so we just kind of, you know, in the pool and things of that nature. And so now I'm trying to, you know, just relax in the lazy river. Come on, y'all know about the lazy river, right? You know, I'm in my tube. I'm just kind of, you know, just trying to, you know, just chill a little bit. And then, of course, you know, my son's just like, oh, no, that's an opportunity to flip dad on his head in the pool. Okay, they got me. One, two, three. I don't know how many times. But I mean, but just simply having some fun. That is critical when it comes to model fatherhood God's way. Number six, teach your children to be thankful. Please teach your children to be thankful. Do not allow your children to constantly complain. And I'll say that even towards, you know, your adult children. Don't allow them just constantly complain. Okay, there may be something we need to talk about and it's bothering you. I get it. You know, but don't stay over into this complaining element. Teach children how to be thankful. One of the reasons why we are not as thankful as we should be, because we're constantly comparing ourselves with other people. We're comparing that, well, you know, they have this, but I don't have that. You actually have something great, but you don't appreciate it like you should because you found out somebody else got something that you think is better. And that's what children would tend to do. You know, you've seen that little commercial. It's one of those insurance commercials, and they do it as a throwback, like it's from the 1970s or something, and they do it around Christmas time. And so the one kid, he opens up, you know, his present, and he gets Liberty Mutual Insurance. You know, only pay for what you need. Oh, this is what I got. And then they turn the camera to his brother. He's like, what did you get, Johnny? All I got was a bike. And he kicks it. He's not happy about the bike, because his brother was so excited about getting Liberty Mutual Insurance. Now, of course, that's crazy. But the whole mindset was, when you start to compare, you're not thankful. And that's what we have to make sure we're teaching our children. Enjoy and be thankful for what you have. Come on. You know, thank God for the school you have. Thank God for the clothes you have. Thank God for the parents you have. Thank God for the siblings you have. Thank God for the church you have. Thank God for the car you have. Thank God for the house you have. Thank God for the feet you have. Just be thankful. Learn to be thankful for what you have rather than comparing to what someone else has or does not. Number 7, please don't allow your children to be bitter or constantly angry. I'm surprised at the number of kids I've encountered that just live with an attitude. Just live with attitude. And yeah, I mean, you start talking to them, I mean, they're just, I hate this, I hate that, I hate my school, you know, I hate where I live, I hate this, I hate. I'm just like, where did you get this bitterness from? Do you realize you could be living somewhere where there was no school? Where you have no house. Don't let your children just sit there being bitter and angry, because they don't see it. And as the parent, it's your role to help them to see it. Bitterness in particular, you can never forget, in Hebrews chapter 12. Says, exercise foresight and be on the watch to look after one another, to see that no one falls back from and fails to secure God's grace. We want everyone to have God's grace, his unmerited favor and spiritual blessing, in order that no root of resentment, bitterness, rancor, bitterness, or hatred shoots forth and causes trouble and bitter torment, and the many become contaminated and defiled by it. I see it all the time. I see, you know, individuals who have really a lot of times a great attitude, and then they start kind of hanging with someone that's bitter. And then you see them start to become bitter. Oh, I can't stand this. I mean, it's amazing. I would see kids, especially early on, because I've been, you know, got several kids, so I would, you know, be at school a lot. And kids would be excited about school. Ooh, I'm going to school, look, I got my new backpack. Oh, la, 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 la. And then they start getting around some other kids who be like, I can't stand school. Oh, I hate this. I don't like my teachers. And then next thing you know, just watch it. Those same kids that were excited, all of a sudden like, yeah. Now nothing even happened to them. Nothing. But they like, yeah, I hate this. Like, huh. See, that bitterness is, well, it'll contaminate others. You got to nip it. And especially if you have more than one child, you better nip it, or it's going to spread right through that whole sibling thing. And you're looking like, what is wrong? What happened? Well, as the parent, as the leader, you got to uproot some things, get some things out of the house. Because as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're not going to sit around here and just complain all the time. And the church said, amen. Here's one that's very important. It's very important. Talking about model fatherhood, model parenthood. Choose your children's school wisely. Choose their education environment wisely. In many cases, your children will spend more waking hours at school than they do anywhere else during the week. Choose their school wisely. You need to know. I'll just be, you know, plain. You need to know your school's policy. You know, do they have a policy now where the locker rooms now are unisex, and the boys can go in the girls, and the girls can go in the boys, and so forth? You need to know. You need to know what the positions are. And academics are important, but it's not the most important. The most important is about forming Christ in the child. So whether it's a public school, a charter school, a private school, a Christian school, you want to do your homework to make sure that what is being encouraged in the school aligns with your values. And you need to make sure, because unfortunately it's present in a lot of our school systems across the country, where the activism of helping children to change gender is something now that they keep from the parents. You need to understand that that's kind of the policy of the school. Boy, it's quiet right here. You need to understand. You can't just take this passive, you know, mindset of I'm just sending them to school. This the neighborhood school. That's the school you're going to. No. Slow down. Do some homework. And make sure that you're putting your child in a position where Christ can be formed in them. Number nine, please, and this one especially again for my fathers, be intentionally affectionate towards your children. Be intentionally affectionate. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, it says, "Fathers, do not irritate and provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to resentment, but rear them tenderly in the training and discipline and the counsel and admonition of the Lord." Listen, a father's love helps to stave off sexual curiosity in the daughters, in the girls. A father's love can help to develop a balanced sense of masculinity in the boys. The father's love, where you show, you know, affection. Now, myself, I'm probably kind of on a scale of, you know, 1 to 100. I'm fairly affectionate. I'm probably about a 70. And then, you know, and then our kids, you know, rank, you know, different places. I got one child in particular, affectionate 99. And I mean, that's just the way, you know, he's created and established by God. You know, and I mean, he just, hey, come on, give me a hug. You know, give me a hug. For me, I have to watch it because I'm just like, okay, I'm a 70, man. That's a little bit too much. Back up. But I understand that's him. Come on, the affection is something that is needed, especially from fathers. You know, I got one princess. Got one. Just uno. So I intentionally try to go, you know, after, you know, time to time. Hey, come on over here and give me a hug. Oh, Dad. Huh, she elbowed me, stiff arm me, you know. She probably make a good running back. She tow. I'll be like, okay. Like, all right, thank you, praise God. Amen, dog. No, but this, she's affectionate too. But it has to be in her timing. All right, I just thought I'd throw that out there. She'll get me later. No, number 10. I got a couple of more for you. Can you take it? All right, good. Monitor your children's associations. Monitor your children's association, and that is extremely important in today's digital social media environment, because they wind up, you know, connecting with somebody, you know that's, you know, 50 years old, acting like they 15 on social media trying to hook up with them. You got to monitor some stuff. You got to pay attention to what's going on. Now, that doesn't mean, come on now, again, we go into that isolation thing where we start trying to choose their friends for them. But you help them understand kind of, you know, making good decisions when it comes to friendship. You know, one of the things, conversation we've had with our children is, if you can't be you with your friends, that's not really your friends. If the only way they can be your friends is you have to act like they want you to act, that's not friendship. Your voice matters too, so you ought to be able to be you just like they can be them. Now, if they can be them and you can't be you, then that's not friendship. But if they're them, you're you, and everybody's at harmony, okay, now we got some friendship going on. Monitor it. Don't control it, but monitor it and give them good wisdom. And always remember 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Bad company corrupts good character. It's real simple. Bad company corrupts good character. You know, we used to say it this way, birds of a feather flock together. If you lie down with dogs, you're bound to get up with fleas. And if you hang out with suckers, you're going to get licked. All right, here we go. All right. So when you're getting licked, don't be like, what happened? Look at who you hanging with. All right, there we go. Last two. Pay attention to what they hear and see. So again, we're talking about, you know, that this whole social media culture. You got to monitor things. And again, that doesn't mean police it. But talk to them. Talk to them a little bit. Come on, listen. If every time you come in a room, they swipe the phone. Every time you come in a room, they swipe it to go to something else. Before you can get there, what's going on? What you looking at? Nothing. Okay, now maybe. If it wasn't nothing, why you keep swiping it every time I come in? Every time you come in, you know they got a phone like this, and then you come in like, oh, hey, what's up, Dad? Like, yeah. What is up? Let's talk a little bit. Monitor, pay attention to what they see and hear. Because again, bad company corrupts good character. And it's a whole lot of bad company on social media. I've almost exclusively now just left social media alone. Because there's just so much raggedy stuff out there. And everybody is a prophet and an expert. Yeah, praise the Lord. Pay attention to that. Last one is this, extremely important. Develop your child for God's mission. Please, develop your child for God's mission. Hear me when I say this, because we get this wrong a lot. Your child was not born with a purpose. Your child was born for a purpose. Child is not born for a purpose. So we wind up teaching everybody, you know, find out what your purpose is. Find out your child wasn't born with a purpose. They're born for a purpose. There is a mission from God that all of our lives were created for. The purpose is there. The purpose is there in terms of, watch this, go and make disciples of all nations. The purpose is there. It's already given by God. We absolutely slap God in the face when we turn and then say, well, now I'm going to create my own purpose. The purpose is there. The mission is there. That's what we were created for. We were created for God. God wasn't created for us. So it's not about trying to teach our children, you know, find your purpose. No. Understand God's purpose and get yourself into it. That's now model fatherhood and parenthood, because we're helping now our children again to form, allowing Christ to form in them and to live out God's mission and plan for their life. Malachi chapter 2 verse 15 says, didn't the Lord make you one with your wife? Talking to a husband here. It says, in body and spirit you are his. And what does he want? What does God want from your union? Godly children from your union. So guard your heart. Remain loyal to the wife of your youth. God wants from every birth a godly seed. He wants children after his heart. Or as what I've been saying this way, where Christ is formed in them. That's what God wants. It's his mission, and we're all created for it. We're not created with a purpose. We're created for a purpose. And God has already laid out what that purpose is. And we have to be disciplined enough now to back up and to allow ourselves to be immersed into it. So I end right here again with Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, what he said. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Listen, to every parent, father and mother, and regardless of, you know, what age your children are. Now, of course, when they're grown, you don't have as much say-so, but you still have a voice. Help them to continue to press towards God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Listen, this is what you fight for. This is what you fight with the school system over. This is what you fight, you know, with neighbors over. This is what you fight with your children over. This is what you may have to fight with your spouse over. No, we're going to serve God. This is not negotiable. We're going to serve God. This you fight over. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.